Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful, as always, that you chose to be with me on this 15th day of the new year, 2020. Wow. Two. Whoa. Here we are. Who'd have thought, huh? I have this program, this what we're going to talk about today in this program, this little podcast, is very interesting to me because here I am at 70 years old, and a lot of my friends are gone. They have left their bodies for various reasons, and as I look back at some of the pictures that I have of students that I've had in the honor of my work, they're gone too. And when you look at it from the point of view of death and you start to understand the whole concept of death, you begin to understand that you don't have much time here on this planet. And what are you going to do with that time? Are you going to squander it? Are you going to just go with the flow of your body and live in the petulance of the human body, which Buddha talked about in his beautiful work in the Dhammapada? Well, that's a personal choice. My students have a really hard time, as does everybody, with the whole idea of their human body. And it's kind of like an addiction for a lot of people. In the human body, when we're younger, there's so much pleasure and fun that can be derived out of it. You can eat potato chips day and night, doesn't bother you. You can eat pizza 24 hours a day, doesn't bother you. But as we go on and we start conforming our life to the presence of a human body, we start to miss what's really important, and we start to misunderstand the texture and the tone of our own life. And so it becomes nothing but trying to stay alive and have as much fun or pleasure as we possibly can. And in doing this and living in such a manner, we miss the significance of our life, the gravitas of it, as it were. And because we just attribute everything to the human body, we get very disappointed and hurt about our life. I got a couple of emails here that I thought were very interesting from different people during the holiday time. And it was, striking to me because as a human being, my own human being, it felt the same thing that these people did, and I thought it would be interesting maybe to talk about it and serve you well. The first question comes from Judith. She does not tell me where she lives. She said, how does one live their life when all their friends are dead? I am so lonely. And then she goes on to talk about some of the quote-unquote good times she had with her friends. And this particular email came out of just leaving the funeral of one of her dearest friends. And so she wrote me. And I thought that was very thoughtful, and I want to thank you, Judith. So your question is, how does one live when all your friends are gone? I'm afraid, like many things, Judith, we didn't live well, and nobody taught you how to live. Nobody taught me how to live either. I had to go to India to find out really what it was all about, but that was, me. It depends on what you call friends. It depends on what you call a life. The bottom line is, do we build our life on the fragileness, shall we say, of impermanence that human life represents? Is that what we're really all about, that kind of fragileness? And if I build my life, the texture of my living, on the fragileness of Greg wanting people to be in his life that will occupy his attentions, aggrandize his ego, whatever it is that is his shtick at the time. Is that the true meaning of living? Is that the true meaning of his life? And this is a very difficult thing for people to comprehend. What is the meaning of your life? How do you live when your friends mainly are all gone and you're sitting there alone? Most people freak out. They don't think death is real until it starts hitting closer and closer to home. And as it gets closer and closer to home, that's when it becomes evident that there is something amiss, something going on that is not, shall we say, beautiful. So let me say this, and hopefully I'll be able to help you. This is a time in your life, and I don't know how old you are, but I'm assuming you're in at least your 50s and 60s. If this is the time you find yourself in, then it is time to do something magnificent with your own life. There is something that you must do to awaken yourself to the meaning and the significance of your own life. And if you can't see that you spent a lot of time in your living trying to amuse yourself through friendship, trying to ignore the gravitas, the meaning, the significance of what it means to be alive and even in a human body and learn from it, then now is that time to gain that insight. Now is the time to devote yourself to it, no matter what is going on in your worldly life, no matter who is there and left to talk to and all of that. You're going to have to learn, rather than occupy your life with people and maybe keep yourself entertained, to begin to let the life that lives within you to live you and to bring about a deep and abiding calm inside you, a beauty. To have what I call the reveal. And we're going to be working on this, me and my students here, all during the year. What is the reveal? What is it that needs to be the revelation and the reveal of a life that has meaning, a life that has some sense of structure, of substance? Well, that's exactly what it's all about. And most people don't find that. They'd rather be occupied than to discover the meaning of the reveal, than to be revealed. To be occupied is to have a philosophy about your life and just accept it for what you think it is. And in doing that, you may think that life has no meaning. And if you want to think that, you want to think that. If you want to think that your life had meaning only when somebody was there, like your husband or your children or your friends, and now because they have left this earthly plane for now, that you have no meaning. If you want to do that, you can do that. But it would seem to me to be more important to really live your life in the discovery of what you ignored all during your life, which was life itself. People think their livingness is their life. And honestly, it isn't. Just what you go through in the course of your livingness has nothing to do with the life that lives within you, the presence of a great life that lives within you. And most people can't go there, don't go there, because they're so busy being occupied by their impulses, their desires. And in doing so, a great deal of significance is missed. So what I would say to you, dear one, is now is the time to put aside the childish things, the things that were maybe a part of your inherited ideals of philosophy of right and wrong, good and bad. Maybe now is the time to get more concentrated and focused on the significance of your livingness through the presence of life that lives within you. This can be done but it takes a great deal of courage and a lot of life changes. And frankly, I have found in my own livingness that most people won't do that. It's just out of the cards for them. They're too hooked on their body's emotions. So it's up to you. It's going to be a chortle, but if you need help, I can show you how. And if you are really interested, I can help you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Most people are not really interested. They're content to just live it out, you know, fight for their life, live for their livingness, shall we say, and get what they want and be occupied, eat, drink, and be merry, as the parable went with Jesus. Okay, the last question comes from Sam in San Diego. Why does God kill people? And then he goes into wars and all sorts of things. Sam, you assume there is some kind of anthropomorphic God, a God that is like you. And I understand why, because if you read the Bible and take it literally, God is the image and likeness of us, and we are the image and likeness of him. Therefore, if I am being difficult and being crazy, he must be as well. And so you begin to look at it and think about that. Why does God kill? Why would you kill? I mean, it's not God. Frankly, there is no philosophical God that we have made up in our minds. It's a challenge. It really is. Two men came to the Buddha. One man said, "Is there a God?" And Buddha said, "No." And another man said, "Is there God?" And he said, "Yes." And so one of his disciples said, what the heck are you doing? You tell one man there is, one man there isn't. And Buddha is supposedly said to this man, this disciple, "The man who came to me and wanted to know if there was a God, and I said no, he was further along the path. He was going beyond the ideas and ideals of his human nature. Therefore, I was seeking to help him. The other man that I said there is a God, that man had no idea that there was meaning to life. So to help him along a little bit, which I tried to do, according to the text of Buddha, I told him there was a God and to seek it. But eventually he will find that God is not the image and the likeness of what he can believe in, and that will help him also." So there are two different approaches here. God does not kill. It is the nature of the human beast to kill. Human beings are not built for eternity. Human beings are human beings, and they live in accord with the environment that they were created in, and that's just the way it is. It is not about the tragedy of a human body dying. It is the tragedy that nothing within that human body ever lived. And that's the problem. We don't really live. We just merely exist in the confines of our theology and our philosophy and our biology. And with that being said, you don't have much to work with in the course of your life. All you're working with is presumption and assumption and things that you need to believe in order to be you. In other words, in order to be Sam. So if you're willing to put all of that away, and you're willing to no longer need to believe that people are killed by the hand of a God, then you're in good shape, and there are many wonderful things for you to discover, like the Buddha did with the two men. I hope that helps you, Sam. Please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Be back on the air tomorrow. Got some more really good questions. If you have a question, you can email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.